hello everyone. Welcome to California. Wish you enjoying the warm weather here, especially for those people who come from the recent blizzard regions. The techniques we try to present here is similar as what we do at Madison, that are shifting from the manual shoving to use the snow plow. This is Alma from Advanced Development Group of UMCBRS, graduate from Wisconsin Madison. This is a collaboration work with Chris, Professor Andrew Abstuso, and Professor Ramsey Abstuso. As the central role of our system is to organize and manage data, and data integrity is critically important. So how to keep the file system robust and reliable is always a bigger concern for file system developers. However, the reality is there are all sorts of factors that will come out and corrupt our file system. For example, the typical factors include the unclean shutdown or system crash, the bugs in file system, and the different kinds of hardware failures. For example, the sector errors on disk, or the memory bit flip. So to protect against different kinds of corruptions, we use a lot of different solutions. To protect against the unclear shutdown, you can choose to use the journaling, or copyright, or soft update. For bugs or hardware failures, we also have other efficient solutions. All of these solutions work very well and protect our data. But the problem is they can only reduce the probability of faults in file system. They can't guarantee our file system is 100% free of corruptions. In such case, the file system checker serves as our last resort to repair the corrupted file system image. It will scan the file system offline, check the redundant information stored in metadata, and restore a damaged file system image back to usable at a consistent state. But the problem of ACK is it usually runs very slow, and because it's offline, so it's causing an extremely long downtime. And because it's challenging to predict the total checking time ahead, so it's usually a hard decision for the administrators to decide when is a good time to start the checker. And things becomes even worse because the file system is also evolving. One observation is the capacity of the file system keeps increasing from hundreds of GBs to petabyte scales. So it means there are more data for checkers to scan, causing longer downtime. The second observation is file system becomes more and more complex. For example, the faster file system, it only have thousands of lines of source code. But for today's enterprise file system, they usually have millions of source code, which means we may have more potential bugs. And because people are keeping adding different hardwares to our file system, we all may have more hardware failures. So in such case, the users have to use the file system more frequently. And the interesting observation is people know pretty well about how to protect against the different corruptions. But there are limited literatures and reports discussing about how to repair the corrupted file system image. So in today's talk, we try to share our study on the repair capability of our system. And we will present our work on the fast file checker based on the revised version of T3 file system, which set the repair capability as a primary concern redesign of our system. And our FSAK performs 10 times faster compared to the traditional checker with the same checking policy. And our ArcT3 file system improves the performance in terms of big writes and run rates. The only penalty we have is for the small rates. So here is today's outline. I will first use a widely deployed FSAK and T3 file system to understand the FSAK check approach, performance, and the file system trade-offs. Then we will introduce our work on the fast file checker at ArcT3. And finally is the performance evaluation. So ETVCK scans the file system in five phases. It will first scan the inode and indirect blocks in a logical order. For example, it will first check the inode 2 and all of its corresponding indirect blocks. After it's done, it checks inode 3 and all of its indirect blocks. Then it will check the directory data block and their connectivity, and erase the detect remove offering inodes, and update the disk copy if any modification is necessary. So the first experiment is we create different file system images, and monitor the check-in's performance on those file system images. We initialize the disk image by creating directories with small files. Then we increase the file system size by creating new files or shoot to appending data to existing files. This is try to simulate people's ordinary operation on file system. The x-axis means the size of data we have on file system. The y-axis means the total check-in time. And you can find ETFSAK doesn't scale very well because the total check-in time increases as the file size grows. We also bring down the total check-in time at the monitor each phases and find the checking of inode at indirect blocks during phase one dominates more than 95% of the total check-in time, which means it's the bottleneck. To understand what's going on in phase one, we deploy the trees and monitor the I/O performance. Then we plot the cumulative time spent on reading indirect blocks and inode blocks. The blue curve is the inode block. The red curve is the indirect blocks. And you can find the time spent on reading indirect blocks is much longer than reading from inode blocks. So we can confirm the bottleneck is the indirect blocks. When we realize this, the natural question comes to mind is, what about the file system with the external structure? Because external structure is supposed to significantly reduce the number of indirect blocks in file system. So in our paper, we compare the check-in's performance on XT3 and also XT4 file system because XT4 has the extend feature. And we find extend can increase the check-in performance, but it will degrade as the file system is become fragmented due to the aging problem. There are more details will be discussed in the paper. Based on the experiment analysis, we try to figure out what is the file system design trade-offs that are accounting for such poor performance. The first observation we have is the XT3 uses the same allocation mechanism for data at indirect blocks. The benefit is we can store both of them in a continuous fashion and facilitate the sequential access. So there is no additional sync between indirect blocks and the corresponding data blocks. But the problem is the metadata, especially the indirect blocks, will scatter across the disk. So the checker has to perform a lot of seeks to access the indirect blocks. The second observation is the file system uses tree structures to locate the indirect blocks. The advantage is it's pretty simple and straightforward, but the penalty is working through the tree structure is not just painful. It also imposes a strict order for the checker to access those indirect blocks. For example, the checker has to first access the inode to get the location of the double indirect box, which can be further used to access the corresponding indirect box. Because of such limitation, it's very hard to have any overall optimization. On the contrary, if we know the LBA of all the indirect blocks ahead, we can access them in a sequential order and improve the performance. So based on the observation and analysis, our speculation that why FSAK performs so poor is coming from the fact that people didn't think about the repair capability when designing the file system. So therefore, the file system has very limited support for the checker, and the checker is always developed as a peripheral addition rather than a tight component. Therefore, it limits the improvement potential just from the checker's perspective. So to completely address this problem, we propose to implement the fast file checker at a modified version of XT3 file system, the RXT3. We consider the faster repairing capability when designing the file system and enable RXT3 to provide all the necessary support for the fast file checker. More specifically, we want our FSAK to check the file system in the most efficient way and performs robust against the system aging problem. And we think nobody wants to sacrifice the file system performance to benefit just a checker. So we expect our RXT3 system can still perform competitively to XT3 file system. Before diving into our new RXT3, it might be better to give some introduction of the XT3. So XT3 will separate the file system image into fixed size block groups. At the beginning part of block group, it stores all the kinds of metadata, including superblock, the summary information for the group, the bitmap for data and bitmap for inode, then comes the inode table and the data blocks. The features we add in FSAK RX3 have four. The first is the new disk layout. Second is use the disk order scale to replace the logic order scale. Then our policy to avoid the memory saturation and how to fast recovery in the face of multiple claimed data blocks. So this is the new disk layout in RX3. We decoupled the allocation of indirect blocks at data blocks. More specifically, RX3 will reserve an indirect region right after the inode table, and it will merely store the indirect blocks and the directory data blocks. The goal is try to improve the metadata density and reduce the number of seek operations during checking. I use an example to explain the new allocation. We try to create a file. We get a new inode from the inode table, then indirect blocks from the linear region, then corresponding data from the data region, then do the same things. When people look at here, the natural question may ask is, what is the impact on the file system performance? Because it seems like we have more additional seeks between the indirect block and the data block. So the trade-off here is we try to benefit from the disk internal check buffer. I use an example to explain the idea. Here is the platter of the disk. We have two tracks. When the file system sends I/O to access a specific sector on the disk, the disk will automatically load the whole track and put it into the track buffer. Because we collocate all the indirect blocks together, we expect multiple indirect blocks will be fetched into the track buffer and benefit of the subsequent access. Because reading from track buffer is 1 magnitude faster than reading from the platter, so we expect RX3 can use the track buffer to emulate the continuous allocation in X3 file system. We will verify our assumption in the performance section. And another finding is the disk traffic buffer keeps increasing from 16 megabytes to 128 megabytes today. So how to benefit from such trend might be an interesting talk. Second feature is FSAK performs a disk order scale instead of an inode order scale. In other words, all the metadata will be accessed in an order sorted by their physical address on the disk. We think it's the most efficient way to scale the metadata. I use an example to explain the idea. Because we store all the metadata at the beginning part of each block group, so we call it a metadata region. When performing the disk order scale, we just need to send a big sequential read to load the whole metadata region into memory, then perform seek operations when crossing different block groups. Because the number of block group is determined when the file system image is created, so it's much easier to predict how much time it will take to scan in the file system. The natural result of performing disk order scan is the memory pressure. Because disk order scan accesses all the indirect blocks without using the tree structure, so we can't perform the checking until all the related metadata are cached in the memory, which make it an impractical solution for the large scale of file systems. So to address this problem, we analyze the checking policy and separate them into two groups. One is the shelf check, one is a cross check. The shelf check means you can finish most of the checkings without reference to other metadata. And we also add the shelf ID to indirect blocks to enable the shelf check. Once the shelf check is performed, you can remove those unused fields for cross check and only maintains the statistic information which are needed for the cross check. I use an example to explain the idea. Here is a disk copy of the indirect box. We add the back pointers as the shelf ID. When the indirect box is loaded into memory, we perform the shelf check immediately. The shelf check includes check the block range of pointers and update the corresponding bitmap information. Once it's finished, we only need to pull out the statistic information from the indirect box and erase the original metadata. The statistic information here includes the inode number, its own LBA, the number of block pointers we have, and the offset and address of the last pointer. Because the completion ratio is nearly 215 to 1, so it's not a problem for the memory caching. I use the verification of file size to explain the cross-check. All of this metadata are the compressed metadata we cached in memory. And based on the last pointer's address from upper layer and the LBA of each indirect blocks, we can partially rebuild the tree structure in memory and figure out the position of the last block pointer and calculate the file size using the offset and finish the file size verification. More details will be discussed in our paper. So the last feature we have is a fast recovery with bitmap snapshot. Traditionally, the checker have to scan the inode at indirect blocks twice. For the first time, it only detects the multiple claimed data blocks. And in the second scan, it detects the corresponding inode owner of such multiple claimed data blocks. Because scan of inode at indirect blocks dominates more than 95% of the total checking time, so it's a very costly double scan. And FACK avoids such problem by using the bitmap snapshot. I use an example to explain the idea. So FACK will create a new snapshot after finished scan a fixed number of inodes. We call it a group of inodes. Here is the initial stage. After we scan the first group of inodes, we create the snapshot 1 and mark the block 1, 2, 4 in use. Then we create a snapshot 2 and mark block 3, 5, 6 in use. And when we create a snapshot 3 and try to mark block 2 in use, we find it's already being marked, which means this is a multiple claimed data block. So FACK only needed to iterate over the snapshot chain and find it's in snapshot 1 in which the multiple claimed block is first being set, which means the previous owner of such multiple claimed block is in snapshot 1. So FACK only need to rescan the group of inodes for snapshot 1 instead of running a global rescan. So in summary, we add four features to our RT3 and FACK. First is decouple the allocation of indirect blocks and data blocks to improve the metadata density. Second is perform the disk order scan because it's the most efficient way to scan the file system image. And we decouple the shelf check and cross check to avoid the memory saturation. And we use a bitmap snapshot to faster recovery from in the face of multiple claimed data blocks. So the last section is the performance evaluation. The first is the checker performance. We try to answer two questions. The first is, will FACK scan well? And how about its performance on an aging file system image? So we use the same approach to create the different file system image and compare their performance. The blue bar is ATFCK. The red bar is FACK. And you can find FACK performs much better compared to the traditional checker. And the total checking time is almost consistent once the file system image is created. The reason is we collocate all the indirect blocks together and perform the disk order scan, which can significantly reduce the number of SQL operations we have during the checking. The second comparison is we create the file system image and try to age in the file system image by simulate people's ordinary operation, such as creating files, appending files, truncating and deletion, and compare their performance. The blue curve is ETFCK, and the red curve is FACK. And you can find FACK performs more or less 10 times faster compared to ETFCK, and it's very consistent, so it's much easier to predict the total checking time ahead. As for the file system comparison, we try to answer multiple questions. The first is, can RT3 rely on the disk track buffer to compete with XT3 in terms of sequential rate? And what about the collocation's impact on the sequential write? And how about the random rates and the macro benchmark comparison? So we create the file with different sizes. The blue bar is XT3, and the red bar is RT3. This is sequential rate, and you can find RT3 and XT3 performs almost identical in all the cases, except the small file, which have 100 KB. In this case, we paid a 10% penalty. The reason is this file just have one indirect block, so it couldn't benefit from the track buffer. But if we increase the file size, multiple indirect blocks will be cached in the track buffer and enable RT3 to compete with XT3. The second is a sequential write, and you can find both of them performs identical. But when we increase the file size, RT3 improves the performance 10%, 20% separately. The reason is indirect region can help to improve the performance of the journaling mechanism in XT3. More details will be discussed in the paper. And the random rate might be more straightforward to explain the benefit from the track buffer. We create a 2GB file, store it continuously at a random rate the different number of blocks from the file, and you can find RT3 improves the performance up to 43%. The reason is multiple individual blocks will be cached in the track buffer during this axis and benefit the subsequent axis. And we use Postmark at the file bench as a macro benchmark to compare the performance, and you can find almost identical performance. So the summary is, we take into account the repair capability when designing the file system and enable the RT3 to provide all the necessary support for the fast file search checker. The benefit is obvious. We get a 10 times checking speed and also improves the file system performance in terms of large write at RAM rates. The only penalty we have is for small rates. So the conclusion is, people know pretty well about how to protect against the different corruptions. But since we can't guarantee file system is 100% free of corruptions, the repair capability is also important, but it receives little attention. And in this work, we build the checker as an integral component rather than a preferred addition and get all the necessary support from the file system part. And today, FSAK is not a universal solution. Other file systems may require other methods. And because FSAK is a 2 years work, it's kind of challenging to explain all the ideas in a 30-minute talk. More of the details will be discussed in our paper, and thanks our shepherd gave us an additional page to explain our ideas. So thanks, and I will be happy to take questions.
It's Andreas Dilger from Intel. Do you have any plans to submit this code into the upstream EXT3 and E2FS progs? It looks like a lot of the, even though you've changed the disk format, that potentially that could actually be integrated with the existing disk format for extents and things like that.
Yep, it's a good proposal. We think about this, and we try to put our source code in good shape. Because for here, we have the whole prototype, but it's still a prototype. We need to polish it, and hopefully someday we will go to the open source and give some contribution to the Linux community.
Yeah, thank
thanks.
You. I'm from Symantec Research Lab. I have one question about the breakdown. If you don't change the file system, layout only use the other methods mentioned in the paper, then how much improvement can you get?
Oh, it's a good question. The trade-off here is if we don't change the disk layout, we'll still be influenced by the aging problem. If we only perform the disk order scan, if I remember correctly, we can improve 15% to 200% of the checking performance. But it's based on the aging problem, because aging problem will influence the original checker's performance. And if you use, if we change the disk layout, it's robust against the file system aging problem. So it's more easier to evaluate how much improvement you can get.
Okay, thank you.
Brent Welch from Panassus. So I think the metadata zone is a good idea. We did something similar to prevent aging, so it does work well. Do you have a hard boundary, though, between your metadata zone? What if you run out of indirect blocks for the data block region? That's the first, and I have a second question.
Okay, it's a good question. Currently, we use the simplest approach, that is give a fixed size of indirect region right after the idle table. The ideal case is you can know more details about the geometry of the disk and to choose the indirect region size. We did some experiment, but I think it's kind of challenging to pull out the exact information of the disk geometry, because it's very complicated in the disk, and you need to think about different factors. Yep.
Yeah. You know, in a sparse file, you could just run out of indirect blocks, right? You may not be able to allocate a data block because you can't point to it anymore. If you've run out of slots in your indirect block region, that's the problem.
Yep.
What? Okay, good. All right.
Oh, we can talk offline if people are interested.
Yeah. So let's thank the speaker. We'll